Hi, Tamar.
Hi, Susan.
Thank you for being part of my brand interview series. Very excited to hear about what you're up to. So please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your company.
Well, I am an attorney. My name is Tamar Serafici, and I am an attorney who practices environmental law. I like to say I'm an environmental attorney who builds nuclear plants. For about the last 10 years, I've been involved in developing nuclear environmental impact statements for the industry, and I've also been working on sustainable development. So I'm an attorney by training, and I have for the last 2 years felt like I needed to be giving back more to the younger attorneys and the attorneys in transition who are beginning to suffer from the economic downturn. So the legal profession is changing, and I wanted to kind of develop something that would help those attorneys meet the challenges of the next 5 to 10 years in the practice. It's fun. It's fun. And I, you know, doing a little bit of both keeps me active as an attorney. And I really self-identify as an attorney, but it also I also am allowed to kind of get out and do some coaching and, you know, pave the way for the future for some of these young students. I'm excited.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the coaching? Tell me what that's about.
I take law students and young attorneys, whether they're in firms or thinking about setting up their own practice, and coach them through the practice of law, through setting up a practice, developing a resume. With my law students, I help them develop resumes, develop practice plans for their interviews so that they can go in and be successful in their interviews. For young attorneys or attorneys in transition, I get a little more detailed in defining what their practice is, what they need to do to develop a practice from all aspects, from the business side, from the this is what gets me up in the morning side, so it makes me all sparkly, to getting and maintaining a client list. Most of the young attorneys I talk to can't name one client, let alone enough to keep you keep lettuce in your fridge that would come with them if they were to be laid off. And so my goal is to teach these people how to take their relationships with their with people they work with or clients that are given to them or, you know, to the next level, or to teach them how to network and create an expertise that draws clients to them personally.
Wow. So what you're saying is you somewhat coach them in their presentation skills as well as almost sort of developing their own following and brand so that they're setting themselves apart from others.
Exactly. One of the problems that law students have and young lawyers have when they interview with a company, for example, or when they interview with a firm, they are asked, you know, what do you think you're going to be doing in five years? And that used to drive me crazy. I used to hate that question. and then I felt like, I don't know. I don't know. But then as I was developing some of this, the coaching program, and I was developing some of the concepts of what a young attorney would need to set up his or her own practice, like set up her own firm or a solo practice, one of the first things they need is a business plan. So I teach my law students how to develop a one-page business plan, so when somebody does ask them what they want to do in 5 years, they just hand them the slip of paper and say, here.
Right.
And so teaching the business side, excuse me, allergies, teaching the business side of practicing in conjunction with what they're getting on the academic side with law school is a really important piece for me. For young attorneys and even attorneys in transition, people who have been partner level and are now out on their own, a lot of them don't know how to set up a business.
Right.
How much to charge, when, you know, they know what their firm did, they have no idea what they need to do.
Right.
And what the setup needs to be. And so that's part of the coaching as well, is identifying with them how to put together a business plan, a marketing plan, and bring all of those entrepreneurial skills to bear, and teach them the entrepreneurial skills they're going to need to succeed in their own practice.
Right. So in this coaching, is it one-on-one personal coaching, or do you do group coaching as well?
I do both.
Mm-hmm. Great.
One-on-one coaching is very helpful in some ways, because the individualized natures of someone's goals or of a person's practice emphasis, it can be very different from another person's. I prefer group coaching, though, because it provides an opportunity for everyone to exchange ideas.
Right.
So it becomes, when I do group coaching, it becomes more or less a mastermind session.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And can be very helpful. In fact, I think more instructive than individual coaching.
Right. Yeah, masterminds can be really good.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit more about environmental law and sort of just, the types of things that you might be working on? I don't mean specific things, but I mean, like what's involved in mm-hmm. environmental law.
The definition of environmental law is the rules and regulations that govern our interaction with the environment or with nature around us. So there are a lot of different aspects of environmental law and specialties in environmental law revolving around the major environmental acts that anybody who's reasonably aware of the news has heard of. We've heard of the Clean Water Act, for mm-hmm. example. We've heard of the Clean Air Act, which governs emissions from, say, coal plants and other plants that emit into the air. We have the Endangered Species Act, which here in Western Pennsylvania is very important right now, because there's a lot of development going on. Mm-hmm. And that affects the development of the properties because of possible plants or animals that may be an important part of the food chain, and their population has become endangered, and they've become listed either in Pennsylvania or on the EPA's or the U.S. list. So there are a number of different environmental statutes that confront business people every day.
Right.
What I do is help act as an intermediary, or as kind of as the explainer. I call myself a natural teacher, to explain and work with small businesses, and I help build nuclear plants, so also very big businesses, in their relations with the regulators and with other people who may be jointly liable with them on a pollution issue or something like that. So it can be a really varied practice, and my 25 years in environmental law have seen, I've done a lot of different things, and right now I'm focusing on renewable energy and sustainable development as part of my practice. So what I do with that is help people who want to build renewable energy projects. I help them think about the environmental implications, and I also work with them as they try to present the business case to potential financiers or potential investors. So I do quite a bit of project finance work as well.
Excellent. Well, I think this would be a great segue into charities or organizations that you care about and might support, or if you wanted to tell us a little bit about that.
I think that it's really important for an entrepreneur to be involved in some kind of charitable work. It's I think that's the sense of abundance that you get from being involved in other works is very important. Right now, I'm working with several women's groups in the Pittsburgh area with the coaching and the mentoring that I have been, you know, just generally working with. There's a group called, I think it's Women's Voice. And I've been working with them. That is a center for abused women who come and are trying to find protection as well as additional education. So I work with them on putting resumes together, things like that. Seton Hill, which is a university in Greensburg, south of where I live, but it's in western Pennsylvania, has a wonderful program called eMagnify, which helps women entrepreneurs work, you know, develop their business plans, develop work in their specific field. So I do a lot of work with that, and then I do donate quite a bit. I feel like it's important not only to donate your time to important work, but also to donate your funds. And so I try to have an annual giving of, well, annual or monthly giving of 10% of my income to both my church and other charity efforts.
Excellent.
So, and then it sounds really corny, but it's very helpful. I try to do one act of service every day.
Right.
And just
well, like when you can help one person with one thing, it makes your whole day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes it, if it gets you out of your head. That's why I do it. I find myself, if I'm too far into what I'm doing and worrying about my students not making enough progress or worrying about clients not paying, that's a big deal. I find that if I pick up the phone and take somebody to lunch or walk over and see the widow down the street, that it takes me out of my head and I can resolve the problems much more effectively when I come back to them.
Right. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about your sort of web presence and, you know, what you've developed and how you use your website and your social media, and tell us a little bit about what it looks like.
Well, I have a number of things that I'm working on, actually. A lot of them are in transition right now. I have my law website, my law firm website, that it's called gnplegal.com. And it's all about the nuclear and sustainability work that I do. It has the beginnings of a blog. I'm working on designing a blog with my designer, Suzanne Hobbs, who is fantastic. Mm-hmm. She is a graphic artist whose father is in the nuclear industry. So she's developed a nonprofit educational company called Pop Atomic. And she does graphic design and artwork not only for the nuclear industry but for her other clients. So she's been working with me on that website, and we are also working on a website for my new venture, the coaching, which is called the Barefoot Barrister. And because I never wear shoes, and in fact, the first thing I do when I get to a meeting is try to figure out a way to graciously take my shoes off. So that's where the name comes from. And so Suzanne and I have developed a logo for that, and we'll be turning that into a website probably within the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, and I'll let you know when that happens, and When it launches, you'll be excited. It'll be fun.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I mm-hmm. can't wait to see it. Okay, and so tell me, do you use social media? And if so, how you use social media?
Absolutely. I have a LinkedIn profile about as long as my arm. I think LinkedIn, from a professional, as a lawyer standpoint, and from a coaching standpoint, can provide a very meaningful gathering place, if you will, for important information. In fact, I've had people actually comment on that, you know, that they came to me specifically because of what was on my LinkedIn. But I also have a couple of pages I'm working on for Facebook, mm-hmm. and I Twitter a lot. I do a lot of LinkedIn and Twitter, and I have, oh, I hate to say it, I have 3 blogs right now that I'm maintaining.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I have. Yes. I think I have more than that.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Especially the writing.
Not only the blogs that I manage myself, but I guest blog on other blogs too.
So, yeah, I do that too. I do a lot of guest blogging for the nuclear industry.
Yeah, well, the more we spread the content around, the better for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am in the process of learning how to syndicate what I'm doing and create video blogs.
Excellent.
Well, I am in the process of designing the Facebook pages. I didn't want to get the Facebook page all set up and then have it change on April 1st.
Right, exactly. I know. Facebook, I was a little bit of scrambling all month to get all my pages kind of in the right, with the right graphics and the right, and it's still transitional because, you know, especially in one particular case, I have to think about what I'm going to do. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. So, and what are the pages going to be, why, you know, a bunch of different pages? So what will the pages be on?
Well, I am definitely planning a page for the Barefoot Barrister.
Right.
And I will also be having a page. The jury's still out whether I want to continue to have a page for my law firm. I have a very kind of vague come see me sort of page. Uh-huh. But I also would like to have a page on something that's focused a little more on marketing yourself and your practice, uh-huh. Whether you're in a law firm or not. And that will be called The Lawyer's New Clothes.
That's
yeah.
cute.
Yeah, it is fun.
That's a cute title.
So we'll work on that. It's a nice pun because, you know, you want to have something that gives the concept of that, you know, you've actually thought about it. But I really like it because it also has that aspect of closing the deal.
Right.
And even though it's The Lawyer's New Clothes as in these things, it's also has something to do with making the deals and getting your clients to come and stay with you.
Right. And you wouldn't want to make use of your own company page for, say, talking about the environmental aspect.
Right, right.
That would bring in another audience from the other two.
Right. That's a great idea. And it's certainly something that I've considered. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is that kind of using the techniques that I teach my students, my clients, I don't know what to call them. You know, I have worked to keep the relationships with my clients, my legal clients, built up and maintained. And interestingly enough, I had a client contact me this morning. I haven't heard from him in 4 years. And he has an issue, environmental issue, and wouldn't go back to the firm that had, you know, that I went working. He came looking for me.
Excellent.
And so
it just goes to show you when you have a niche and people remember that they know where to go. They know how to come back.
Right. And managing all of the Facebook, LinkedIn, and social media materials are certainly going to enhance that. and help that work move forward, which is a point I'd like to make. One of the things that I do very well is find other people to do what really ought to be my work. And so I am always looking for people who are willing to give me advice or even put together a good Facebook page or something like that. And that's, for me, that's the most important aspect of what I do, and that is not to think I have to do it all by myself. Mm-hmm. There are so many experts who do it so much better than I do, and lawyers have a tendency to feel like they have to do all their marketing by themselves, they have to do all of their work by themselves, they right. have to sit there like the monk, you know, in the cell doing all the little monkey stuff. But they really don't have to. They have opportunities to move forward and be more productive if they are able to share some of the responsibility of the of their work as well as the work of marketing themselves.
Right. Well, delegation, I mean, you know, being able to, you know, pass along things that can be done by others is, you know, one of the things that makes a successful company. You know what I mean? It makes a successful entrepreneur, because if you have to sit back and do everything yourself, you're never really going to move forward. So,
yeah. Well, I have a mentor who really doesn't like social media very much, except when it's used effectively.
Right.
Because the myth of social media is that you have to be there and present all the time. And the worst thing an entrepreneur can do is spend all of her time in the inner office in front of her computer trying to keep up with her social media plan.
Right.
It's just flat out unprofitable and stupid. And she still needs to go develop a local platform, a local base, and anything that happens on the internet then becomes something that she can transition with. One of the reasons that I'm involved this way is because I have a husband who is in the nuclear industry, and he is a nomad.
Right.
We've moved four times since 2009. And so I have to have an important web presence in order to continue to develop a profitable and continuous profile. On the other hand, I can't simply market that profile to people online. I need to have recommendations and word of mouth, and people need to know who I am. So I still need to get out into the community. I still need to be involved in some way entrepreneurially in the community where I live.
Right. Yeah. No, I feel the same way here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people know me for this or that, but I really like to go to events and openings and this and that in my local community so that I'm connecting with, you know, the creative and the, you know, cultural niche that's here, you know,
absolutely.
In my own area. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that broadens this perspective of the internet entrepreneur so much more, and provides so much more to the internet entrepreneur than just sitting in front of the computer all day.
Right, and not only that, but then, you know, if you're connected with people on social media, they also know you in person.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
It becomes not that just that you're not just that little avatar. Oh, I know her because I've met her and I've talked to her and whatever, you know. So
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Anyway, so all right, let's move on to, let's say, print marketing. What types of things do you create and print up that help support your business?
What I've been doing for the print market is various. I'm working on a book, because I think a book is a great business card. Everyone should have one. And I'm also preparing. When I work with groups, I prepare printed workbooks. So each of my programs, my program on resume building, my program on network building, my program on partnership building, all have printed workbooks that go with them, so that they can be so that they can work on them during the class rather than just simply taking notes.
Right.
So that is something that I'm really excited about and really busily engaged in. I don't use a lot of online printing because we have some tremendous local entrepreneurs here who do great work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm able to do that. Where I don't have access, in some areas I've been in, I really haven't had access to reliable local entrepreneurs, and so I have done some printing online through online providers. My first cards were from VistaPrint, for example, and that's the most common one. So I have done that. Being a local entrepreneur myself, I kind of like to stay local, if you will.
Right, right. What about, you talked about how you, you coach and you teach others. What about studying yourself?
Oh my gosh.
Do you take, do you watch webinars? Do you take teleclasses? Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've studied for your own, business?
Oh yeah, as a lawyer, I'm obligated to continue to learn. I have a requirement called continuing legal education, and I cannot renew my license until I've proven to the Utah State Bar that I've taken 30 hours in a particular given time. So I'm in that habit with my law practice, and I've extended that habit into learning about marketing. Mm-hmm. When I started thinking about this 2 years ago, I was in Sweden on assignment with my husband, and I really had nothing to do. So I really started taking webinars and downloadable books, anything I could get my hands on about how social media worked, how internet marketing worked, how does one use a blog to attract a following. I've lost track of how much time and money I've spent learning that. I should keep better, this time of year, since it is tax season, I probably should say, oh yeah, I have meticulous records of all of the money that I've spent learning. And there's a lot of learning by doing as well. So I try to participate or produce seminars as often as I can. Mm-hmm. And so I've produced this year a couple of in-person seminars already, and I'm hoping to continue with these, what I call them study groups, mm-hmm. on marketing and practice management. I'll be moving forward with those on a live basis throughout the year. So there's a lot of learning in actually doing that I have really, really enjoyed.
Terrific.
So yeah, it's great. But you can't just stop learning. You can't just say, oh, I have my website. Oh, I'm writing a blog. Oh, I've got a business that's successful. You can't stop learning. You've got to go to the seminars. You've got to do the seminars. You have to do the programs that you do online. You have to really figure out ways to incorporate them into your, practice, into your practice or into your business constantly. And if you stop doing that, you're not going to be, I believe that anybody who stops learning about their business and learning about new ways to go forward, they're going to become dinosaurs very quickly.
Right.
And they're going to lose their market share, and they're going to lose their business.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, because I feel like I'm, just a sponge. I watch at least almost one webinar almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
From learning all these different things and then implementing what I've learned, you know, I'm better able to then help my clients.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I can test things out on myself.
Yeah,
see what
absolutely.
Works, see what doesn't work, and then be able to help others do the same thing.
Right, so. And I think that's the essential piece, is that a coach should never feel like that they are the good coaches, the really good coaches, the really good mentors are not actually teaching a student. They are not, you know, downloading information, if you will. It's not a brain dump. What they are is they're learning along with their students.
Right.
They're just a little bit ahead of the game so that they can guide the student, their fellow learners. But, a teacher is a co-learner. And,
right.
And they, again, any person who has a business has to be a co-learner with their client.
Right. I love that. I love that concept.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very Socrates-like. Very Socratic.
So I think we're almost done. I think the only thing that we have left maybe is for you to tell us any events or special things that are going to happen this year that you want to talk about or. Well, you said you're going to have a new website in a few months.
Right.
And some Facebook pages will be coming. But what about, events or products?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited about the launch of my book, hopefully the end of the summer. It's called Dominate, How Smart Lawyers Crush the Competition. And
okay.
I'm looking very much forward to the book and the web program that's going to go with that, the learning program.
So then that website is going to be built to go along with the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it'll be all interactive e-learning. I'm working with a local entrepreneur named Sue Ellis, who has a company called People Learn. She does terrific work on creating educational programs for the web. And we're going to develop a course around the book and have a webinar and launch event with that. I'm so excited I can hardly stand it.
Right.
So that is going to be the big deal for me this summer.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Well, I think that concludes our brand interview. And
all right.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.